So we're talking about rubbish. Imagine this. We're going to talk about rubbish today. Hopefully what I talk is not rubbish, but I will talk about rubbish. Because to get stronger, we're going to have to deal with our rubbish. Now, we don't really want to go near this stuff because our rubbish sometimes can be sensitive. It can expose us. We're like, oh, you're going to read my mind and find out my deepest, darkest sin. No, not exactly. But what I want to tell you today is I want to talk about rubbish. And I want us to look at it maybe in a context that you've never seen before. Because I'm going to read from Paul, and Paul's going to show us that it's more than we think, that it's more than just the negative things. It's literally anything that could possibly get in the way of Jesus. I wrote down a few things. Anything that consumes your time. Anything that consumes your time is rubbish. Anything that gives you value is rubbish. Anything that gets in the way is rubbish. Anything that causes you to get sinful or distracted, of course you know that's rubbish. And you're already saying to me, what? That sounds like everything. That's exactly the point I want to make. Here's how Paul wants to grab our attention today. Paul from the New Testament in Philippians 3 writes this in verse 8 to 9 and 10. Listen to this. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Now notice that, count everything. He's counting this stuff. For at his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. This is crazy. Paul is saying everything, completely everything, in comparison to Jesus, is worthless. It's of no value. In other words, don't let anything get in the way. Don't let anything take his place. Make sure everything is underneath him. Make sure that he's not on a par with anything else. He's just far too great. He's far too lofty. Now, we're going to notice in a few moments as well that Paul's not just counting bad stuff. He's saying everything, every single thing that he has done of any worth, of any value, he counts it all as loss in comparison to knowing Christ, because Jesus is far greater. Goes on to say in verse 9, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and I may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Paul is saying, my life has been radically transformed. I tried to make myself right before. I tried to live good. I tried to do good. I tried to get other people to tell me that I was good. But now that I've met Christ, I realize all of that was in vain because of what Jesus has done for me. He has made me righteous. His blood has washed me white as snow. He has transformed my life. And I am so grateful. And I am so thankful. And I'm so overwhelmed. And I can't wait to tell everybody else. He has found the main thing. He has found the only thing. And it's like finding hidden treasure. Once you find it, nothing else compares. That's literally what Paul is saying. Let's read the first two verses again because they're so important for what we're going to talk about today. He says, indeed, I count everything as lost because of their surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Amen. If you have gained Christ, you've gained everything. If you haven't gained Christ yet, then you need to get him to get everything that your heart desires, to get everything that you want in life. Here's the two points I want to make as we're going into what we're talking about today. Number one, Paul had counted this thing up. Now, here's what I like about this verse. Paul's not just plucking this thing out of thin air. He's looked back with hindsight on his life thus far. He has counted some things up, and he's realized as he's counted them up, and he's tried to stack them up, and he's done his due diligence, that things didn't work out as valuable as he thought. He didn't think, you know what, religion is not as valuable as I thought. He even questions family in comparison to Jesus. Not as valuable as I thought. My career and all my endorsements and all my awards and all the things that I did of worth and value and note, I've added them all up. And guess what? They don't even come close to comparing to Jesus. He has done the due diligence. He has added up the sums. And no matter what he does, it keeps adding up to less than he thought. And yet when he gets Jesus, and he gets Jesus, and he does a simple addition, plus nothing equals everything. In fact, what Paul is trying to tell us today, and what he wants you to learn today, is if we take Jesus and add anything else on to him, it equals taken away. It doesn't get us the everything that we dreamed of. It's not like Jesus plus a few other things gets you the perfect scenario. He doesn't need anything else. You don't need anything else. He is the perfect one. He is the wonderful Savior. He is the incredible King. He is the best friend you've always ever dreamed about. You don't need anybody else. Don't deceive yourself. Don't let anybody else deceive you. Paul is trying to grab our hearts today. He's saying Jesus plus nothing equals everything. That's his heart and that is his message. He's worked it through. But he also adds a second word that's really significant and worth us considering today. I've suffered and I've let go. Here's what it says. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Paul is saying, trust me, I've had the good things, I've had the accolades, I've had the endorsements, I've had all that you could consider being of worth and value, and I had all of those things. And for a time, they probably satisfied, and for a time, they were significant and they were good. But you know what? Suffering the loss of those was well worth it, because Jesus is far better. He's trying to tell us something from 1500, 2000 odd years ago. Jesus is far better. Don't get distracted. Don't get consumed with anything else. Jesus is far better. Rubbish wants to build up on our lives. Rubbish wants to consume our lives. Rubbish wants to take the place and all the different places of our lives. So when Jesus tries to be king and when we try to find him, we have to try and fight our way through all of this rubbish. Paul associates all of those incredible things that he does. Now let's paint the picture this morning to encourage your heart and to really let you see it. He uses the word rubbish. That's a very mild word. We've sanitized rubbish, you know, we put it like when we get a dirty nappy, Nikki puts it in a perfume bag so it doesn't stink out the bin. We've sanitized everything. But what Paul is trying to paint the picture of is that take all of the good that I have done and chuck it on the rubbish heap. Because back in those days, what you had was the city, and then outside the city, you had like the dung heap. You had like the place that nobody wanted to go to. The riffraff hung out there because it was just like the isolated place, the rejected place. But what you found there was rubbish, fleas, flies, disease. It stunk. It was disgusting. It was horrible. It was everything you could imagine and more. You're glad you're not there because you didn't want to smell it. If you smelled it, it would make you sick. That's the kind of rubbish that Paul is talking about. Now, picture this for a moment and let's add this up. He's saying, take all of that good. I'm not just talking about the bad, the sinful stuff. And Paul did sinful stuff. He's not just talking about that. And sometimes that's all we associate with rubbish is the sinful things. Paul is telling us today, I take all of the great things that I've done. I take all of the wonderful things that I've been awarded, all the great things that I've got, all the great things I have achieved, and I chuck them on the dung heap. I chuck them on the rubbish heap. That's what I think of those things in comparison to Jesus. In fact, if I didn't have Jesus, I could keep all of those things. But now that I've found him, none of those things make any sense. And I would rather chuck them out than keep them close in case they would start to rise up again and start to kind of almost try to fight for that place in my heart that I only want Jesus to have. You know, whenever you kind of like have that thing you really love or that thing you're really proud of or that achievement you really had and you start to find value in it. You know, it's like it starts to tell you, wow, I'm a valuable person. And for a while you think that's okay, but what happens if somebody better comes to you or the award gets wiped out or a better achievement comes out and somebody beats you and then suddenly you're like, oh, I don't feel as valuable as I once did because now somebody has beaten me or I used to be first and now I'm second or our things have changed. You see, when we put our value in anything bar Jesus, it's changeable, which means we're in jeopardy. But Jesus says, put all that you have in me. Let me dictate your worth. Let me dictate your value. Let me dictate your whole life because I'm the one that only adds. I do not take away. I do not remove from you. I do not hinder you. In fact, I set you free. Paul is saying, everything is rubbish in comparison to Jesus. Now, let me just suggest something today. I was thinking about some of the things that we do, is that we have become, maybe it's just me, but it could be you as well, we have become professional tightrope walkers. Can you imagine this? You know, we're on a tightrope. I'm kind of on a stool at the moment, so I feel like I'm on a tightrope, but thank the Lord it's a good wide stool and it's keeping me stable. But could you imagine being on a tightrope? And sometimes our Christian life feels like this. It's like I'm on a tightrope and it's really small. It's like millimeters thick, and I have to just be so careful, and I have to keep pride up all the time, but I really want a couple of things over here and I really want a couple of things over there. And before you know it, I'm losing my balance. And some people lose their balance and just go, this Christian thing's way too hard. And then some people are just exhausted, just trying to stay on the tightrope. Because what we've done is we've fallen into the trap of that we've got to balance our lives out. We've got to fit this in and that in and Jesus in and this in and that in and Jesus in. And what Paul is saying, that is the worst dilemma to ever find yourself in. You're not a professional tightrope walker. No matter if you've done it by accident or you've trained professionally, that is not who you are. No, you're a person that stands on one rock. That's it. You stand on one rock. You stand in one place and you walk following after him. You're not looking to the left or the right or behind. You're not balancing Jesus with anything. It's not this or that or trying to level the scales out. Could you imagine scales for just a moment and you've got Jesus on and you had a few things that you really love on, but you find that it was tipping the scales too much and they were becoming higher than Jesus. So you took a couple of things off and you kind of just got it right. And then you really liked that thing again and you really wanted to get that thing, you really love that girl, or you really wanted to go after this or that, and before you know it, Jesus starts to sing. And very often, this is what's happening even when we don't see it. We're trying to balance everything. And Paul says today, and I give this for your heart, for your consideration, and I urge you to do it. Paul says, break the scales. Break the scales, because Jesus is everything. How about we just did that today? How about we jumped off the rope and we got on the rock and we just smashed that rope? We got the scissors and just cut it. We just smashed those scales and we said, never again am I going to try to balance my life out with a bit of God and a bit of this and three or four of that and trying again to bring God back into the picture. It's relentless. It's exhausting. You can't do it. We have fooled ourselves, or someone has fooled us. Paul says, break the scales. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He's all that you need. Can I encourage you? Can I urge you? He is all that you need. I have found it. Many others have found it. He is all that you need. Break the scales. It's too hard otherwise. Jesus is everything. Everything else is rubbish in comparison to him. Truly, everything else. Second thing I want us to do is, I want us to think about anyone been to the dump recently. Strange question, I know. But anybody been to the dump recently? Now go with me for a moment. Again, we're talking about rubbish, and so it kind of goes together. But here's the thought that I had. At the beginning of this crisis, we worried a lot about toilet paper. Now, I understand the reason for it. I use it myself. Amen? It's a good thing. But what toilet paper tends to do is it cleans up mess. And we'll say no more about it than that, because the picture are already running wild in our heads. But what has happened now, after weeks and weeks and weeks of being at home, rubbish has built up. Or we've decided to do a spring clean that we maybe should have done last winter or the winter before that or 10 years ago, because there's always a room, there's always a drawer, there's always a place in our house. And what I've learned about rubbish, it keeps coming. We've got to deal with it. We've got to take it out. And so many of us have said to ourselves, man, I really need to get to the dump. I really need to get to the dump. So when are they open? So our crisis has moved from toilet paper to, is the dump open? Because we've realized we've got a rubbish problem, we've got a mess problem, and it's far bigger than we thought. It is far bigger than we thought. Because even though you've got lots of dreams, even though you've got lots of vision and you're excited for this in the future, rubbish keeps piling up, doesn't it? I mean, everywhere you look, it's piling up. So we want into the dumps because we want to get rid of the rubbish. I think it's time we did a bit of a dump run on our lives. On our lives, to really get rid of some of that stinking thinking that we've got, some of that emotion stuff that's going on that's rotting us out. We just gotta get rid of that. There's some rooms in our house need clean physically, but there's many things need to happen internally. And I believe God is saying it's time to go to the dump, because rubbish loves to grow. Here's what I found. No matter how much you clean, rubbish keeps coming. It's like everything you buy. Ever thought about this? There's very little that you can actually buy at the moment that doesn't come with some kind of packaging, some kind of sleeve. So we're always accumulating, because no matter how much you go to get, which we have to get, you got to get food, you got to get different items, you got to get this, you got to get that, but we just keep piling up the rubbish. So is it any wonder after 10 weeks of being at home more often than we have been in ages that we've piled up loads of rubbish, whether it be from just accumulation over this last few weeks or we've decided to clean up and tidy up. So people are desperate for the dumps. I think it's a good thing. I think it's a really good thing. And we got to do is bring it spiritually into our lives as well and say to ourselves, right, with God in my walk with Him, when was the last time I dumped out a load of junk? When was the last time I went on a real radical spring clean and I really got rid of the junk? When you think about it, how many of you have had Amazon boxes over this last few weeks? We have, you know, you got to order somewhere, don't you? So we think about Amazon boxes. We think about maybe just old boxes that have lay around that you thought you'll keep from storage. They're just jamming the place up. Maybe you've got some stuff in the garage that's been there for years. Our garage was like that. Move on swiftly. It's getting better. It's getting better. And all we're talking about this moment is just boxes. Now think about old toys in the attic, maybe old clothes, you know, old furniture, just rubbish that's accumulated. We talked about earlier on, you know, it starts off with a drawer. And then suddenly it's like that drawer gets busier and busier. And then it's like a corner of a room or maybe a wardrobe. And before you know it, it's like the whole blinking room. And if you're not careful, it'll become the whole house. Because rubbish just keeps growing. We've got to do something with it. And here's two key rubbish factors for you. You didn't think you were going to learn these today. But two key rubbish factors that I wrote down is that rubbish is always piling up. It's always needing more room. Just more and more and more. And no matter how you do it, you're losing space. Anyone losing their garage or house space because there's just rubbish that's piling up and you're like, I really must get to it, but I've never got there quite yet. But maybe just soon. And God is saying for the same for our lives. When was the last time we did a bit of a clear out? When was the last time, spiritually in our hearts, in our heads, when was the last time we did a bit of a clear out? Because rubbish piles up. And then secondly, which is really important, it needs dealt with. I've never seen any rubbish walk away on its own. Ever find that? Imagine if you woke up one day and all your rubbish just walked out. It was gone. Just walked out of your house, like, and if it was worth something, left the money at the door. That would be incredible. But here's the reality of what you find, definitely what I find. Have you ever missed the bin? I hate it. You know, like you go to put the bin out, you think, oh, I'll do it first thing in the morning because it's really late at night. I'm going to do it first thing in the morning. And then first thing in the morning, you kind of sleep past that or you forget. And then it's, oh my gosh, there's a bin, Laurie. And for hours, you can see it for a bit. And then you finally run out. And I'm sure these guys have laughed at me many times. I've now started to get better after about 15 years. I've started to get better, maybe longer. And, you know, I'm not trying to dwell on it too much. And I'm starting to put that bin out earlier. And you know what? It's far less stressful. It means I never miss. Listen, but what I find is that you've got to deal with your rubbish. You've got to deal with it. If you don't deal with it, you're going to miss it. You're going to accumulate it. It's just going to continue to build. It's going to continue to grow. So we've got to know we've got rubbish, and then we've got to know that it's constantly growing. We have to face it. We've got to deal with it. Otherwise, it's going to take up all the space that you've got. And space is incredibly valuable. We all gather up junk in our lives. What about shame? What about guilt? What about regrets? What about that thing you said or the thing that somebody said to you, and it started off small and now it's become septic and rotten and it's just disturbing all of your thinking? You know, the Bible tells us we have to guard our hearts above all else because out of it flow the issues of life. Have you found that? I have. If I don't keep my heart right, if I don't continue to ask God and ask Him for His help, my heart just starts to get distracted, starts to get discouraged. It actually starts to become even sometimes toxic and bitter, not just to things, but towards people. And so I've got to bring my heart before God. And then, of course, my thinking, because my thinking gets infected by the rubbish. I mean, if I got this around and that around, it starts to infect my thinking. And before I know it, my thinking is stinking. And then that dictates what I do, my actions, my thought, everything about me, my behavior. So I need to sort that out. I need to reference it and I need to bring it to God. And he wants to deal with it. I'm fed up with rotten feelings. Anybody had rotten feelings that just want to dominate your life, want to take away your freedom, fed up with stinking thinking that wants to rob you of your freedom and your ideas and your vision and all that God's won for you? Because it really is. If you don't fight it, if you don't deal with it, it will start to overthrow. It will start to take over. It will start to creep up. And Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Not Jesus plus a few things. It's Jesus plus nothing. We've got to deal with it. Sometimes we've got to go to the dump. And so hopefully you're getting to a point where you say to yourself, man, I think I need a bit of a cleanup. I think I need a bit of a tune up and a cleanup. And this is the time. And I believe, like we've been saying over this last few weeks, that God has called us. This is our time. This is our moment. God was not caught out. We were not born at the wrong moment. This was our time. And we have got here at just the right time. And so we've got to get ready. And if we're going to get stronger, we've got to be ready for the unexpected things, like we said last week, or the unthinkable things. But this time, we've got to get stronger by clearing house. We've got to get stronger by getting rid of the rubbish, because that rubbish wants to take up space. And if it can take up space, then it dominates our heart and our head. We've got to deal with it. We've got to deal with it, and we've got to clean up. Verse 8, like we read at the beginning, I want to just remind you of it. It says, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Here's what I truly hope and truly believe, is that we all want more of God. We all want more of God. But to get more of God, you've got to create room. You've got to create space. It's like trying to jam him in when you're consumed with everything else. It's like, yeah, I really want to go to that thing, but I've got this, this, and that on. You know, it's just like my diary is chock-a-block. Even in a practical sense, how are you going to go to a prayer time or join in with a prayer group or with like a life group or whatever else if you're just busy all night long, or you're just consumed all night long, or if other things are just trying to get in the way? You've got to realize those things are getting in the way, and as they get in the way, they change your thinking, they affect your heart, and then the things that you really want to do, you don't do, and the things that you don't want to do, you start doing. Ever find that? How is it when you start watching something, like, or you just get into like a Netflix mode? And I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt, and I'm trying to come out the other side, praise the Lord. But how is it when you start to like get in on these things? You say, I'll watch 30 minutes, just 30 minutes, it's going to be awesome. And then, you know what, maybe switch into some prayer, you know, maybe if you're being super holy that day. But you say like 30 minutes, then I'm going to go to bed, because I want to get to bed, because I want to get up early the next morning and just get alone with God. You know what happens? You find it a really amazing show. You get into it and like 2 hours can go by or longer. Say no more. And then you eventually get to bed. The thought of getting up early the next morning, not going to happen. Now, what's happened there? It's that your heart really wanted the things of God, but your head asked for satisfaction right now. Your head said, no, but I want this now. And it reasoned it out, and it convinced you, and it decided, and you're like, okay, I'll do it. But really, we stole from ourselves, because what our heart is really longing for is the things of God. He's the only one who truly satisfies. What did Paul say? He wrote most of the New Testament. Everything is lost because of surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus. If we don't count this stuff up, it's going to fool us, because we're going to think, well, I really need that Netflix, and I really need that time alone, and I really need that me time, and I really need to do this thing and that thing. And all of those things are good in their place and in their time, but watch how they want to come up and sit beside Jesus, and maybe even push him out of the way sometimes, and take away your number one time, and consume your time. And what are you going to do? You're going to accumulate rubbish. It's going to fill up more space. And then when your heart cries out, I want Jesus, I want Jesus, I want Jesus, there is not enough room. If we're going to have all of him, we've got to make room. Can I tell you that today? If we're going to get more of him, we've got to make room. It makes practical sense, but it also makes perfect spiritual sense. Rubbish wants to take over, and it will. If you don't take over it, it will. It's a global problem. Let me tell you about it. We're running out of space all over the world. Landfill sites that we just can't get enough. We can't get enough room for them. We don't know what to do with them. So we decide to landfill it and then build houses on top, trying to get rid of the rubbish, trying to hide it. But we don't know what to do with the rubbish. Our sea is full of rubbish. The sea is crawling with rubbish and plastic. Animals are washing up on shore all of the time, dead, strangled by plastic. Even our sky is full of dead satellites, old abandoned satellites. When we go to put new ones up, we have to be conscious that whatever orbit we put it into, it's not going to hit an old satellite, because there's metal and debris. It's like a scrapyard up there. Our world, our orbit is full of rubbish. What about the digital place that we find ourselves? Full of rubbish. Who's had a phone that's ran out of storage? You got to take that photo. It's like that really, really amazing photo you want to take. Uh-oh, full. It's like, oh no, got to delete loads of stuff. And it's not just one, but you got to delete loads of things. Anybody ever had an email problem? You go to send an email and it goes, mailbox full. It's like, phones are full, emails are full. Ever had your most favorite program in the whole world this morning? You've got it on repeat and you're recording it on Sky Plus or whatever it is, and you go to watch it, it's like, box is full, can't record anymore. All of us are facing a space problem. It's not new, it's perfectly normal. So we've got to deal with this thing because we need more space. It's exactly the same in our heads. It's exactly the same in our hearts. We all are working with capacity. If we don't delete, if we don't sort that out, if we don't remove, then we run out of capacity. And even if our heart says, I want more of God, our head says, no time, no space. Can't fit you in, won't work out, too many other habits, too many other things. Are we getting the picture? We have to do a dump run. We've got to clear out and we've got to ask God to help us, because even though our heart is willing, our head will take over. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do? I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. Daily deletes. This is what I'm calling it. Daily deletes. Maybe daily delights is what you're thinking about right now. You think about chocolate bar or bun or whatever. I'm talking about daily deletes. We have to start deleting like crazy. If you want to clear space on your phone, you got to start deleting like crazy. If you want to clear email space, delete like crazy. I get more contact by email and phone call with some of the stuff that I manage online about email space than pretty much anything else. It's always about, can I get more room in my mailbox? Can I get more room? Can I get more room? But here's what I found. You can get more room, but if you don't learn to delete, you're always running out. Because more room is not the answer. Yeah, get an upgrade. Yeah, get a tiny more bit more space. Yeah, work in a bit more capacity into your heart and your head if you can. But really, you've got to learn to delete. If you never learn to delete, you're never going to get control of that space, and you're never going to get what your heart truly desires, and that is more of God. Does that make sense? We've got to learn to delete daily if we're going to defeat this thing. We've got to do it. Stronger in God means I'm going to delete daily. Now, maybe you've tried, and you're working it out annually. I would suggest you're probably not. You're just getting yourself enough room and no more. You know, it's like that time where you delete just enough room. I'll get that last email in, and then I'm jammed again. Or I'll clear a few pictures, and then I'm jammed again after I take two pictures. Sometimes one of the best things can happen is you lose everything, because then you got to start over. Now, I know that's heartbreaking because of your favorite photos or all those emails, but there's something really awesome about just being able to start over. I mean, I was telling Nikki this the other week, don't think of me as strange, but there's something truly satisfying when you leave out the wheelie bin and you get it a few moments later and it's empty. You're like, wow, we got all this space for rubbish again. There's something exciting about that. It's the same for us. If we could only get clean sometimes and just wipe out all of that space all in one go, instead of a wee bit here, wee bit there, we would be a lot better for it. If you want your computer, top tip, if you want your computer or phone to run well, you've got to regularly delete, archive, get rid of, and wipe clean. It will never run better than when it's wiped clean. You got loads of room, you got loads of capacity, you got loads of space. That's God's dream for your heart. He designed you to be filled with Him and nothing else. Everything else clogs you up, makes you stinky, blocks you up, just gets in the way, removes our dreams, removes our desires, gets us lethargic and lazy and just this and that. And we said it's stinking thinking and rotten emotions. It just consumes us. We were not designed to be filled with anything else bar the wonderful presence of Jesus. He wants to consume us. He has washed us white as snow. If we're saved, then His blood has already washed us clean. But His Spirit wants to live inside of us. And the Holy Spirit wants to fully consume your life. Daily deletes are the answer. Maybe painful, but we've got to get in the habit of it. Let me tell you one more wee quick story to try and demonstrate the point today. Stains. Ever had a stain problem? Now, this has obviously never really happened to me before. It might have, but I don't want you to tell anybody. But we have a nice rug, and if you're not careful, something could spill on that. Now, one time, that may or may not have happened. And the most important thing that I needed to do at that moment was Go quickly. Go quickly. This is, again, daily deletes are great, but speed is of the essence. Because here's the way stains work. If you leave them, they get worse and they leave a mark. Now, our dream as Christians is that we're going to leave a mark. Not get worse, but get better. We're going to leave a mark. But you've got to know that bad things leave marks too. Good things, they want to go and impress, and we as the children of God want to go and have an impact on the world. But bad things want to impact the world as well. We see it. Rubbish impacts the world crazily. We're trying to fight this thing back. It does the same in our lives. Not only do you want to do daily deletes, but watch out for the stains. If you can, go quickly. The moment something happens, what did I do? I went quickly. I got that cloth. I wiped that mark away quickly. You wouldn't even thought it happened. In fact, I don't even think it did happen. Don't tell anybody. But if I had left it, guess what's going to happen? It's going to cost me a fortune. I'm going to have to buy a new rug. I'm going to hear about it. I'm going to have to go through a lot of conversations. But I managed to get it quickly. So daily deletes, but also be speedy. There are things in your life. You may do it wrong. You reference it. Or you may get distracted by this thing. Or you may get discouraged here. But if you could just stop it quickly, if you could just get to the stain fast, it would make all the difference. Now, if we find ourselves in a place where we do get stained and we do get marked with it, we know we've got Jesus. We know that he washes as white as snow. But guys, I don't want to just be constantly coming back to zero or just back to the straight and narrow in a sense, or just back to like status quo. I want to be moving forward. I want to be exploring, pioneering, moving into the things of God like never before. If I'm constantly always working behind and constantly just trying to remove the stains and constantly being consumed with that stuff, i.e. dealing with the rubbish, how am I ever going to push forward into the things that God has got me? Because remember, rubbish wants to steal your time. So do it little and often. Get it dealt with. Move on quickly. Keep moving forward. Don't get distracted. Don't let it grow. Because what could be dealt with in a split second, if you don't deal with it, will cost you 10 times more later on in more ways than you can possibly imagine or think. God's heart is that you would leave a mark for him, not the other way around. We don't want rubbish leaving a mark on us. We want to leave a mark on this world with the good things of God, with the love of God, the grace of God, with just the wonderful good news of the kingdom and seeing many come to Christ. What happens? We leave behind all of the dead and we come to life. That's really what God is saying with salvation. That's who we are. We are the ambassadors of heaven. We're not going to be just cleaning toilets out of our lives for the rest of our lives. If that's the case, ask God to help you straight away and get that thing dealt with, because that's not what he has planned for your life. It's like, fix it, move on, go again. Fix it, move on, deal with it quickly, move on, go again. I want Jesus instead. I don't want anything else. So let me give you four quick things as we're thinking about how am I going to get stronger? How am I going to deal with this rubbish? Number one, spend time with him in the Bible. If we're going to keep ourselves rubbish free, if we're going to keep our hearts filled with Jesus, it's simple. It's number one, spend time in the Bible with him. Here's what Psalm 119, 105 says. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. Now let's make this practical. If you're unsure if there's rubbish going on or if your journey's being hindered in any way, what does the Bible say? I'll light your feet up, because your feet talk about our journey. It's like the place where we're going, our destiny, where I'm walking every day, practically, spiritually, in every which way. But the Bible says, I'll light that up. So instead of you tripping over rubbish all of the time, instead of you having to like walk into things, bang, and then try to get around it and wasting all of that time and then the hurt and the emotion of all of that, and maybe even the fact where you just decide, I'm just going to give up. The Bible says, I'm going to light that stuff up so you can step over it or step around it or sweep it out of the way or get rid of it. It allows your heart to stay free of rubbish so it can stay full of Jesus. It's a light on my path. See, the Bible wants to make our way clear, light it up. It's like spotlights so you can see clearly instead of stumbling in the dark. I'm fed up trying to stumble in the dark. It never gets you anywhere. It just gets you hurt and confused and angry. But when it's lit up well, you can see clearly, there's where I'm going. This is a path that I'm taking. This is how I'm going to do it. And even if there are obstacles, which in life there are many, I can see how to do this. I can trust to go this way. God will reveal this to me. I'm going to get into his word. Please let COVID-19, this lockdown time, be a time where you get into his word like never before. Number two, pray and talk to him every day. Now again, this is not rocket science. This is, you got to talk to God. Paul in fact said it like this, pray without ceasing. Now, that seems crazy. That seems a lot. But let's run the scenario. I tell you, or you tell me, this is my best friend. And then I say to them, and then I turn around to you and say, you know what would be a good idea? You should talk all the time. You're like, yeah, I know, we do. We're best friends. That's what we do. I mean, it's exactly the same with God. Prayer without ceasing is not one of those things where it's a burden or it's like, oh my gosh, how am I supposed to do it? It's like, obviously, yeah, like we're best friends. It's what we do. We talk all of the time. But here's what I want to tell you is that if we learn and just continue to talk to God, tell him, God, I'm not feeling good. It's like, I have woke up in like the weirdest mood. This happens to me. I'm sure it happens to you. God, this is not me. I'm not going to feel like this. It's not going to dictate my day. God, here it is. Help me. It's like there's mornings like that. There's times you're like, God, I'm really anxious about this. I'm really concerned about this. God, can you help me? I remember back just a couple of weeks ago, just this work thing. I was starting to get overwhelmed and anxious. And you know what it's like? Sometimes it just comes like, whoa, it's like, where did that come from? It comes so quickly. And in those moments, I turn around and say, God, okay, God, I'm giving this to you. I don't know why I'm getting anxious. I don't know why I'm getting nervous, but I'm giving this to you. By the end of the day, I was like one of those crazy dancers. I was like, yeah, nailed it. God came through. I'm amazing. You know, I was just like rejoicing and praising the Lord because he helped me in my time of trouble. But he wants to talk to you all day long. He wants to speak to you, encourage you. He's in the word, but he also wants to speak to you. He wants you to listen. He wants to hear from you. Number 3, listen to worship and podcasts. I just cannot believe the day and age that we're in. Technology is so advanced. Opportunities are so great. You can listen to worship more easily than ever before if it's about music. There's just incredible bands out there. There are people that have written incredible songs. There's fun songs. There's serious songs. There's heartbreak songs. There's songs that have come out of incredible trial. You'll be able to find something that speaks to you at that time, which will encourage you into more of the things of God. Watch how if we don't get consumed on that stuff, we start to get consumed by other stuff. Our other stuff takes its place. Get into worship. Start to sing. Start to rejoice. If you don't feel like singing, sing till you feel like it. Wouldn't that be a good idea? Sing until you feel like it. Don't sing because you feel like it. Sing until you feel it. Sing until you get into it because God is so good. And then podcasts. I mean, imagine this. Before it was like, oh, long journey. Now it starts to become your delight. If once we are allowed to go back onto the roads properly and get out there, I challenge you. Listen to an Audible book. Listen to a podcast. You'll find yourself in a few different journeys. You can listen to an Audible, whereas before, to read a book, it would take you a month. You'll listen to it on a few big long journeys. Before you know it, at the end of the week, you've listened to a whole book. Content out there is incredible. It will change your thinking. It will reveal things in your heart that you never noticed before. It will correct theology that you thought was right, you realize now, wow, that was so wrong. I've been believing this lie. I've been building my life on this false promise. It wasn't right. As we read, as we worship, as we talk to him, he reveals all of the things that we need and it pulls the junk out of our hearts and we get consumed with the one that we really want, the one that we really need. And then the last point of the 4 is this, be part of the body. Now I know this is not easy at the moment because we can't physically meet together as the body, but let me tell you this, as part of the body you serve. Now how can you serve at the moment? One of the best ways that you can serve is that we as a church, as Vibe, have never before put out live sermons, like audio kind of podcasts all of the time, videos all of the time, YouTube all of the time. We're just putting out content as much as we can all of the time. What about you sent that to a coworker? What about you emailed that to someone? What if you like heard a song and you thought, man, I think that would really speak to this person, and you emailed it, sent it, texted, SMSed it. I heard of somebody just recently, they're texting their boss verses because they don't care. It's not like we're going to see each other soon. It's like the next time I see them, it's like they'll have forgotten about it or they'll have got saved. So take the risk, take the opportunity. There are new opportunities to serve like never before. Before it was only invite to church or get them to do this, get them to do that. You can text a verse, you could email them the sermon, you could send them to YouTube. Share, share, share. Your social media, even if you don't want to do one-to-one share on social media. It's incredible how many people will tune in out of curiosity and who knows, maybe even get saved. So you're going to serve. What about supporting? You've been supporting with church. You've been supporting with Vibe Care. There's other places you can support, missionaries, children. There's sponsorship. There's food programs. There's the food bank you can go to. You've got to support. You've got to plug in. Watch how when you start to do those things, your heart starts to get filled more with the things of God. You get compassionate for him. You get consumed by the things of Him. You're praying, you're helping, you're literally just filling your heart with all of the things of God. And all the other rubbish that would want to like be, I need this and I need that, starts to get pushed out of the way. It's no longer a competition, and it's just Jesus at the top and everything else is below, because Jesus plus nothing equals everything. You don't need anything else. Everything else is going to try to steal from you. Everything else is going to try to take room up that He valuably needs in your heart. So guys, use these four as a spot check for your heart. How am I doing? How am I getting on? How is my heart doing at this moment? How am I dealing with my rubbish? Use these four. Use these four. And if you find yourself weak in one area, then you know I've got rubbish to deal with. Okay, God, help me here. Help me there. These are great tools to help us to stay rubbish free, or to be able to deal with our rubbish on a regular basis, because we need minute by minute checks. We need daily by daily checks. We cannot go weeks at a time. We cannot go years at a time. It is not good for us. We were never built like that. So guys, finally, what on earth are we going to do with all of this? Can I tell you a home truth? We've all got rubbish. There is no one that is rubbish free. The only differential is this. There's the group that's dealing with it, and there's the group that's hoping it's going away. You know that like hope above all hope? Now, the only time I've seen rubbish move is in high winds, like the last couple of days, when our trampoline tried to go, but we got him back. We got that trampoline back, and it's not too bad. We're going to make him work. So rubbish doesn't go away. You can hope it. You can dream it. You could even pray it, but it doesn't go away. You got to deal with it. You've got to face it up, and you've got to deal with it. Get rid of that thing. Put that thing to bed. Put that thing out. Delete that thing, sew it up, make it that it cannot happen. Because if we don't, the rubbish just piles up. Rubbish is there for all of us. Let's be one of the people that deals with it.